Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 to 25. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 to 25. And in this particular passage, you're going to read something that's historical, something that was very particular to Israel, but it's a great admonition to you and me, a great explanation to you and me on the elements of getting right and staying right. Let's read the passage. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten out of fellowship with the Lord since you've been saved and then come back to him? I have. Are you out of fellowship with him now? Well, let me tell you that there are some definite things involved in getting right. And those things are listed in order in this passage of Scripture. And if you listen carefully to what this Scripture is saying and look this Scripture up for yourself and remember these things, then you know what? The Lord will use that in your life if you're not right with him now, or use that in your life if you're trying to stay right with him now, to help you to understand the process. The best way to get right with God and to stay right is through the things that we see in this passage. Number one, the best way to get right and stay right is through the chastening hand of the Lord. Look at verse 16 again. He says, Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Now look at 17 and 18. Is it not wheat harvest today? I'll call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Do you understand? Samuel said, Guys, you guys have messed up here. You're wicked. And he knew, he said, you know, I sit here and talk to you guys and tell you, you need to get right with God. And if God doesn't do something to punish them, to apply his chastening hand to them, they're just going to go right back to what they were doing in the first place. As it turns out, they did anyway, but God will apply that chastening hand to you, that God will apply that chastening hand to me to get us in a right relationship with him and to help us to stay right with him. To let us know that there indeed is a consequence to falling out with God. You have to recognize in your life those things that have been done against you that the Lord has done to get you back to him. Now, that doesn't mean that all things are the chastening hand of God. I mean, there are bad things that happen to good people who aren't being chastened by the Lord. They're being taught something else or allowed to go through something else. Maybe God's trying to magnify His grace, like He did with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe He's trying to enter you into the ministry of consolation, to let you go through something bad so when somebody else does, you can take them through it. Maybe your suffering is vicarious. I mean, really, truly, you're allowed to go through something almost for the benefit of somebody else. Maybe the Lord's doing it just for His glory. I mean, there are some good reasons why good people suffer, okay? But I want you to understand something. There are also times when you're going through something, and the whole purpose for you going through that is that you've been out with God, and He's trying to get your attention. And listen, those things that are being used by the Lord to get you right with God need to be recognized as such, because they get you looking at yourself from God's perspective. Because you realize, hey, God's not pleased with this. His hand is against me. There's something about my life that He's not happy with. Don't you do that ordinarily anyway? When something kind of really bad happens, you kind of start looking at it. Oh, what's God doing here? You know, what's He trying to show me? What's He trying to teach me? Those are good questions asked sometimes. I've seen things come out in my life, really, and you know, what you want to do is you want to fight against those things, and then I've settled down and kind of got to thinking about my life from the perspective of the Lord as it concerns that area in which I was receiving some trouble, and realized, you know what, God's trying to get my attention about something going on in my life He doesn't like. And you know, when you start getting that part of your life straightened out with the Lord, that chastening hand lifts. And when it does lift, you'll understand and know, you know what, that was God trying to get my attention, and He did get my attention. So the best way to get right and stay with God is, first of all, through the chastening hand of the Lord, which is what He did to the Israel here. He rained and thundered upon their wheat harvest the day that they were going out there to get it, just to show that their wickedness was great, which they had done in the sight of the Lord when they asked for a king. Now listen, the second thing about getting right and staying right with God is that it comes through the fear of God. Look at verse 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Comes through the fear of God. You know one of the things that's happened here? Notice, feared the Lord and Samuel. You know one thing that's happened is that fear that people had 75 years ago, 100 years ago for the preacher is gone. I mean, truly, when the man of God stood in the pulpit, he had prayed so long and prepared so much. When he got in there, the people were scared. There was a fear. And the fear was not a fear of man. It was a fear of, although, as he says here, they feared Samuel, but it was the fear of the work of God through the man. Samuel was no man to fear, not in and of himself. But when he prayed and God answered his prayer and brought that thunder and rain, you'd fear that guy too. Because if that guy was up there preaching and said to you, you don't receive God right now, you walk outside and you're liable not to make it home, it'd scare you to death that you wouldn't get home, because he'd be on his face before God saying, you know what, as a testimony to these other people, just kill him. And God might very well do it. He surely did something big for Samuel to let the folks know in Israel that they were wrong in asking for a king. And so they feared God. And that's right. Listen, the fear of God, as we've discussed in recent lessons, is vital to the quality of your spiritual life. And I'll tell you, the reason that people aren't having the kind of spiritual lives today that they had 100 years ago, that you read about in biographies and read about in sermons and other things, if you're prone to study that stuff, the people have lost the fear of God, and they've lost the fear of the man of God who's preaching the Word of God. And that's a bad thing, because people don't take seriously enough what's going on in the pulpit, and they don't take seriously enough what God's trying to tell them. And they don't really listen until things get really bad. And that's just sad. It shouldn't have to go on that long, but it does. Best way to get right with God and to stay right is through the chastening hand of the Lord and through the fear of God and through the next thing, the confession of sin. The confession of sin. Look at verse 19. All the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. We've added unto all of our sins this evil to ask us a king. They said, whoa, 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 what we've done here is wrong. Listen, if you're going to get right with God, you're going to have to acknowledge your sin. That's right. You're going to have to acknowledge that what you were doing is a sin. And then after that, you can take some action on it. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times people just see the chastening hand of God and they think, okay, I got to straighten out a little something in my life. But they don't realize what they're doing from God's perspective is something God doesn't even want them to do anymore. That it's a horrible thing. Sin is a horrible thing. It is the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross. So you have to acknowledge your sin and then you've got to confess and forsake that sin. I realize that there are people that tell you, you don't have to confess your sin. I'm going to tell you something. I really believe for a variety of reasons, and I'm not going to preach the whole chapter that we're getting ready to look at right now, but I believe for a variety of reasons the men that teach you against this particular verse of Scripture are doing a great disservice to the body of Christ. 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you something. When you get out of fellowship with God and you get into sin, what you have done is unrighteousness. And to be cleansed from that unrighteousness, I realize, takes the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that took care of your soul, but your spirit and your flesh are defiled by the sin you've gotten into. And you know something? You need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to that to clean you up and to restore your fellowship with the Lord. You said, where do you get an idea like that? Well, for two things, and I won't elaborate beyond these two things. Number one, John is not like the politically correct people today. He doesn't say, if we confess our sins, that when he means to be talking to you. He is a saved man. He was resting on the bosom of Jesus Christ at the Lord's Supper. He was exiled in the Isle of Patmos and given the revelation of Jesus Christ and recorded that for us in the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. And he said, this great Christian man said, if we, he included himself. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I know that the blood of Jesus Christ took care of your sins at Calvary. I know that. But that affected your soul, and you're a tripart being with a spirit and a body as well. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, that sometimes your body and your spirit are in need of a spiritual cleansing. He's not talking about taking a shower here. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, the thing that God has given you to clean yourself spiritually and also physically from the filthiness of flesh and spirit so that you can perfect holiness in the fear of God is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see? In verse 9, He uses the word cleanse, and in verse 7, He uses the word cleanse. You've got to confess those sins. You've got to. They affect your fellowship with God. They keep you in a position where you're not right with the Lord. Proverbs 28, you say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, boy, but this sure is good old counsel here. I'm telling you, you're quoting Proverbs all the time. Haven't you ever quoted, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it? Don't be talking to me about that stuff. This stuff in the Old Testament here, open rebuke is better than secret love. That works today. Iron sharpeneth iron. Today, my friend, a dog returneth to his vomit. Today, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. That works today. And so does this verse. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You got to confess those sins, my friend. You got to get down on your face with God and pour it out to Him and acknowledge that you've done wrong and that you want Him to clean you up and do better. Getting right and staying right with God involves the chastening hand of the Lord, the fear of God, the confession of sins. And I'll tell you something else that involves in this text of 1 Samuel chapter 12. It involves true repentance in verses 20 and 21. True repentance. In verses 20 and 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, you've done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." True repentance is a lot more than just sorrow for something you've done wrong, or as people say, sorrow for getting caught. True repentance involves two things that are in this text: submission to God and elimination of the vanities. Listen. Look what he says in verse 20. Turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You know what that is? That's submission to God. That is submitting your will to His will and saying, "You know, Lord, I repent. I take my hands off the reins. You run it. You guide it. You hold the wheel, you hold the governor, and lead me in the direction you want me to go. I'm serving you now." Submission to God. And true repentance involves elimination of the vanities. Verse 21, "Turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they're vain." You've got to turn away from those things that drew you away from God in the first place. You've got to rid yourself from those idols and things that cannot profit you or deliver you. True repentance for somebody in Roman Catholicism, for instance, means, you know what, I'm going to turn from the vanity of the rosary. I'm going to turn from the vanity of saying Hail Marys. Why? Because a rosary can't do anything for you. Oh, you say, "I've had all kinds of blessings ever since I've been saying my rosary. I've had all kinds of blessings ever since I've been praying to Mary." Let me tell you something. I am sure that you have. I do not deny or discount the value of those blessings. Not at all. I wouldn't even argue with you about that. But I would argue with you where they came from. Mary cannot give you those blessings. That's right. That is absolutely right. You say, "How come?" Dead. Body's in the grave. You say, "What about the Assumption of Mary?" False doctrine. False doctrine. Didn't come until the 1950s. What are you going to do for 1950 years leading up to that? False doctrine. No, the one that is the mediator, the one who is the provider, is the Lord God. And I'll tell you, that's why it's very difficult sometimes for people that were in Catholicism to make the turn. Because they just depend so much on Mary, so much on their experiences with superstitions of that religion, they cannot break away. True repentance, you're eventually going to eliminate those vanities. True repentance, you're going to submit to God. You're going to serve the Lord God with all your heart. That's what you're going to do. If it's true repentance, that's a whole lot more than just sorrow for getting, you know, caught or doing something wrong. But you know what? That's not all that's in this text. The best way to get right and stay right with God involves the chastening hand of the Lord. You've seen that. That storm came right during the middle of their wheat harvest. The fear of God, the confession of sin, the true repentance. And I'll tell you something else that's getting right and staying right with God involves. It involves assurance of salvation. Look at verse 22. "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." I think it's very important for you to understand, when you have gotten out of fellowship with God and you return, that God never left you. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You've passed from death unto life, and you shall not come into condemnation." That's what He said. It helps to remember that He never, never, ever intended to leave you, that you're the one that turned your back on him for a period of time. You say, well, why is that so important? So you don't sit there and grovel around in your sorrow for months on end or years on end until you think you've gotten right enough with God. Trying to make it up to him. I have watched people who strayed away from the Lord and came back, and they have groveled around there trying to make it up to the Lord for months and years and can't get going. Listen, we all acknowledge and recognize that when you have been backslidden, what you did was a terrible thing. No matter how far into sin you went, allowed yourself to go, it was a terrible thing, and you'll know that and admit it. But listen, the Lord doesn't make it hard on you to get back with him, and we don't make it hard on you to get it back with him. What you do, you just simply, as they say, man up. Okay, what I did was terribly wrong. I'm sorry. And then you know what you do? You just start getting on that right path and say, thank God the Lord was right here for me the whole time. We're back in fellowship. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed me up. I am his child. I was his child during that time, if you were indeed saved then. And we're going on now. And you can pick it up from there, start growing and start going. I'll tell you something else. The best way to get right and to stay right is through all these things and the counsel and intercession of a friend. The counsel and intercession of a friend. Look what verse 23 says in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. They asked him to pray. They said in verse 19, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God. And he said in verse 23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I'll tell you what. It really helps to have a friend. It really helps to have someone praying for you to stay right. And it really helps to have somebody give you counsel when you are getting right to help you stay right, to get on the right path and go. I remember distinctly the names of the people that were praying for me to get right with God. And I saw them both and thanked them both for doing it. And then I'll tell you something else. I remember distinctly going to a friend right after the Lord got me straightened out with him and sat down with him for 2 hours discussing what the Lord had done and trying to plan out what I should do next. And you know what? He didn't say, okay, now you need to start doing this, 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 and this. He gave me two or three pointers, but those two or three pointers are exactly what I needed to get up and get going. And you know something? They made the difference in my life. And that fellow was praying for me. And that counsel was good for me. And I tell you what, I believe I'm here speaking with you today, right now, because of that counsel and intercession. And all these other things. I'll tell you, it's that important. So go to a friend that you know is a true friend. Say, look, man, God's got a hold of me. I was listening to a preacher on the radio today. He was talking about getting right and staying right with God. He caught me squarely out of fellowship with the Lord. I tell you, I'm under so much conviction. I just want somebody to pray for me and kind of help me get started on the right foot. And you know what? If you're praying, God will speak to that person exactly what you need to help you get going in the right direction and staying in the right direction. All right, two other things. The best way to get right and stay right is also through the remembrance of God's goodness. The remembrance of God's goodness. You say, what is that? Well, Romans 2:4 says, know ye not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Remembering God's goodness helps us to further repent. It also reminds us just how good God is. That's an encouragement to you to keep you from straying again. Look in verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. You go back and think about all of God's provision and help for Israel. Oh, just immense. The promise to Abraham, the getting out of Egypt, the protection during the wilderness journey, the victories over all the kings when they went into the land of Canaan, and on and on and on and on it goes up until this very day. The judges, Samuel. Oh, just tremendous how God's been good to Israel. You know what that goodness should do? It puts you in a place of humility where you say, man, I do not want to be cut off from this goodness again. Man, I'll tell you, it makes the difference all the difference in the world. Getting right and staying right with God, one other thing, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 25, also involves an admonition against doing it again. It's through an admonition against doing it again. Look what Samuel said. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You know what he's telling him? God's going to let you off this time. But I'm warning you, you go back and do this again, you and your king are going to be consumed. And you know what? They kept messing around with that. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar came into the two southern tribes. The Assyrians came into the 10 northern tribes. And they've been suffering for that ever since then until this day. You need to be soundly warned against returning to those old ways that caused you to fall out with the Lord in the first place. And so that reinforces the fear that of God in your life, and that fear of God is a thing that really does keep you on the straight and narrow, as they say. So let me summarize again for you, and then we'll close. Getting right and staying right with God, according to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 to 25, involves these things: the chastening hand of the Lord, the fear of God, the confession of your sin, true repentance in submitting to God and eliminating the vanities, the assurance of salvation, the counsel and intercession of a good friend, perhaps a pastor, the remembrance of God's goodness in your life, and an admonition against doing it again. Now, you get into a system like that right there, I'm going to tell you what. You'll get right, and you'll stay right. And God bless you when you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.